everybody. Here we go again, another episode of Sonic Reformation. I kind of feel like Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights, where it's like, I don't know what to do with my hands right now because Britt stepped out of the room, and it's like, if I can't look across my desk to his desk and he's not there, then I panic, and I think I need some pills or something to calm myself down here.
Man, I'm back. I apologize.
Everything's right.
Everything's right in the world again.
Okay, man. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about. One thing, I don't think we should do the subject first, but just to let everybody know, we're gonna dive in on this God's Voice conference. This is an answer to the Revoice conference, and we're really gonna dive in on that, tell you where it's gonna be, who's involved in it. I think one of the big supporters and people involved in getting this conference put together was Minister Stephen Black from Oklahoma, who 35 years ago repented of his sin of homosexuality and has since married a woman. They've had children. He's a grandfather now. And has helped many, many people through God's glory find repentance with their sin of homosexuality. So we'll dive into that. We've also got some Beth Moore news. Is that what you were wanting to?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, since you brought up the God's Voice conference. The one that's going to be the answer to Revoice.
Yeah.
There's something interesting that I found from Douglas Wilson. Mm-hmm. I went to his blog, and Douglas Wilson is a brilliant man. I had some issues with Douglas Wilson when he went through the whole federal vision stage, and maybe we can talk about that sometime. But since then, Pastor Douglas Wilson has backed away from that issue. And like I said, maybe we can get into that sometime. But he's a man that I'll always check out his blog just because, again, I respect what he says. And he's probably, man, one of the few pastors that still has a backbone. And this is what he said, and I think it's his latest blog post, and it's called PCA Rest in Peace. Now, for my Presbyterian brothers and sisters out there, I think this is probably a wake-up call, to be honest with you, because at this point in time, I do not know how the PCA Church has not officially came out and spoke against this Revoice conference that took place in a PCA church.
Mm-hmm.
I would be so disappointed if I were part of the PCA. Look, I grew up Southern Baptist, and the Southern Baptists have disappointed me so much that which we're not affiliated with a denomination here at Christ Reformed Church, but if we were part of the SBC, then we would have dropped out a long time ago. So yeah. when I'm talking about this, because this is what I consider the SBC and the PCA to be the last true conservative churches, and maybe I would even throw in the Lutherans from the Missouri Synod, that they would be one of the last conservative movements there. And when I talk about the Southern Baptist,
the backbone is almost completely gone.
Yeah, and the Southern Baptist, of course, it's not set up like the PCA with the Presbyteries, and you know, there's not one ruling factor there. Southern Baptist churches are pretty much autonomous, and you know, here nor there. those are the last three groups that I saw holding on to conservative values. And now, to be honest with you, I don't know if there is a denomination that is truly conservative now, one that I would say, man, good for you guys for being men, standing behind the word of God, preaching the truth day in and day out, or Sunday in and Wednesday in, you know, and sticking to the word instead of cowering down to whichever way the wind's blowing culturally. So that was a long rant to bring it back to Doug Wilson and him calling out the PCA here. So these are his words, and I'm going halfway down into his blog here, but it says, why no response? It says, the Revoice Conference was a vanguard move. It was an incursion into the world of the PCA to find out how hard or soft, as the case may be, the defenses were. Behind those initial forays by technically celibate Christianity speakers are the massed armies of the secular world. And then he asked the question, why no fight? Why no valor? He said, I'm reminded of the definition of valor in Ambrose Bierce's Devil's Dictionary. Valor is a soldierly compound of vanity, duty, and the gambler's hope. Why have you halted? Roared the commander of a division at Chickamauga who had ordered a charge. Move forward, sir, at once. General, said the commander of the delinquent brigade, I am persuaded that any further display of valor by my troops will bring them into a collision with the enemy. Now, he kind of goes off track just here for a second, but hang with Douglas as he, I call him Douglas.
Dougie.
Yeah. Anyway, so hang with Pastor Wilson here when he says, declaring war on the federal vision, this is the whole mix-up he got into earlier with the PCA. So here, declaring war on the federal vision got you some inside baseball orthodoxy points and was a good career move within the denomination. But declaring war on the sexual revolution might get you in some real trouble. It might cost you something substantial out in the real world. You see, that handful of Revoice presenters represented what most think will be the future of the country, and therefore the PCA, and what not a few want to be the future of the PCA and the country. Cowards on the ramparts, cowards in the citadels, cowards in the corridors, cowards in the seminaries, cowards in the publishing houses, cowards at the conferences, cowards on the sessions, cowards in the presbyteries, cowards in the pulpit, a sea of frothing pink cowardice.
Amen.
He goes on to say, I know basic ecclesiastical physics. I know where your rock is, and I know where they have placed the fulcrum. I know how long and how sturdy their lever is. I can see what they are doing, and it doesn't really matter how many individual people you might know who disagree with it. When the mainline Presbyterians lost their denomination, about 80% of their ministers were still Orthodox and Evangelical. They also didn't know where the fulcrum was and where the lever was. He goes on to say this, Doctor, how is it possible for him to have died? I can't believe it. Most of his body didn't have cancer. To all this, the technically and ostensibly orthodox will still want to wail. But the situation is so complicated and seems so hopeless. We don't know what to do. I tell you what, why don't you pretend that instead of saying that we should bring queer treasure into the New Jerusalem, the presenters at Revoice had said something really bad, something that sounded like Norman Shepherd, something like justifying faith working through love. Take it from there. Start throwing things. So here it is. If you are in the PCA, barring a miracle from heaven, your denomination is finished. You demonstrated first in the Federal Vision Brawl that you knew how to fight and are demonstrating now when the threat is orders of magnitude greater that you can't be bothered. There is therefore no excuse. Now it goes on, but I think he laid his point down perfect there. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Again, there was definitely some issues with, like I said, that I had with Douglas Wilson when it came to the whole Federal Vision thing. But this is one of the things that I greatly respect about him. He is a man, and he stands behind the word of God, and he doesn't care to tell the truth and put it out there. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we still have men standing behind the pulpit. We still have men who are willing to lay it out in a blog and just tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely. You know, the PCA, look, this is where, I don't even know if we have any Presbyterians listed. Oh, yeah, we do. We do have one. But honestly and truly, this is where, you know, They need to stand against this. And this is the biggest issue when it comes to this garbage that's called the social justice gospel. Mm-hmm. This is where it's leading us. I think this is one of the reasons why we looked at Revoice and we said, dude,
yeah,
what's going on here?
Yeah.
And this is exactly what it's bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
We got men behind the pulpit that are afraid to speak out against the queer culture that's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not politically correct.
Exactly.
Well, the scripture is not politically correct. I mean, Jesus himself said, look, the world is going to hate you. It's going to divide your family. You know, fathers against sons, mothers against daughters, because the truth divides.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think for the most part, over the past 50 or 60 years or so, what we've done when it comes to the scriptures, we take the good stuff, you know, that people want to hear, and that's what we really focus in on.
That's the Bible.
That's the Bible. All this other stuff that's kind of hard to hear, we're going to sweep it aside.
Yeah. We won't take it out.
Yeah,
we're just not going to go there.
We just ain't going to talk about it.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, I think that's one of the issues that I have. Not to go ahead and... Did you want to add anything else about the conference that's coming up that's going against Revoice? Was there anything that you wanted to say about that?
Well, I've got their website pulled up. I mean, it's coming up in February, the 22nd and the 23rd. And I think it's in Oklahoma, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
Give me one second.
So here's my understanding. What's the name of that conference again? This is terrible. I should have wrote it down.
God's Voice.
So what they're coming out and saying is, instead of inviting the queer culture into the church and gaining whatever it is that they're bringing in, what these men are going to be talking about is how they have been, God's regenerated them to where they're no longer in that sin. That one of the main presenters is who was at one time acting in the sinful lifestyle and of the gay lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
is now married,
mm-hmm.
and has kids,
grandchildren.
Yeah,
I mean,
so I mean, you see what God has done in his life to where what Revoice is saying is like, no, this is something that, you know, we need to embrace because it's a struggle. I mean, when we talk about the gospel, does it mortify the sin? I mean, does it do away with it? Does it give you the strength by the Holy Spirit living, dwelling within you so that you can now resist that sinful nature? That's, you know, nipping at your heels. Can you finally crush it, which some people are able to do? Or do we say, no, we need to embrace this? See, that's what's driving me crazy, and I think that's where Douglas Wilson has his point,
mm-hmm.
and saying the PCA, rest in peace.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me add one more thing.
No, go ahead, please.
When it comes to, I know I'm saying a lot about the PCA, but there were some Southern Baptists that were involved in the Revoice.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't think that I'm just coming down on the PCA.
Yeah.
I'm coming down on the Southern Baptists, too. And if I'm not mistaken, Mark Dever is still, what's the word I'm looking for? I just went blank. Here it is. Mark Dever's church is sponsoring another conference coming up that is similar to Revoice. Now, it's not being held inside his church, but they are sponsoring it.
Right.
So there's... Where's the outcry? That's what I'm waiting... That's what mm-hmm. I want. I want a riot taking place.
Yeah.
I don't want cars burned or houses vandalized. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying,
Anarchy.
Right. I just want people crying out saying this has got to stop.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, to me, and it goes in not only into like the leadership of the church, but the church body itself. You know,
right.
We have to stop being cowards and afraid of, ooh, we might hurt somebody's feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. You know, we need to stand up for the Word of God, but you don't have to be a bully about it. I mean, you can be if you want to be.
You know what? So this is, I want to stay Christ-like, but even I think Christ showed what righteous anger and how that takes place when he went to the temple and saw what the people had done to his father's house. You know, mm-hmm. he said, "You've turned this into a den of thieves." I think, and I truly feel this way, that this righteous anger should be boiling up within Christian believers.
Yes, I fully agree.
I pray. Now, look, I'm not saying I would ever do this, and if I were to come to the elders and say, "Look, we need to do some type of Revoice conference here," if the elders said, "Yes, that's a great idea," they're not true elders.
Nope.
I'm not a true pastor.
Nope.
And the church should be outraged. Yep. And they should say, "You hand us over the keys to this building.
Mm-hmm.
You need to repent of this. And you need to take some time, because we don't know if you're truly called to be a pastor."
Yeah.
And they need to do the same thing with the elders.
Yeah. But you know, the church that held the Revoice conference, that I mean, the elders did nothing.
Nope.
They embraced it,
yep.
including the pastor, and you know, on what was it, Cross Politics?
Yep.
He did an interview, and they even called him out and said,
yeah,
you know, "Please repent of this, cancel it. You know, will you
right.
go to the elders and repent?" And he laughed. He,
yeah. "Oh,
no, that's not going to happen."
Right. So was there anything that you, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Was there anything that you wanted to add about that God's voice?
Well, what I was going to say is I was just going to read the about section off their website, and you can look into them, into this conference more at godsvoice.us, godsvoice.us. And it's got scheduling and everything. But under the about section, I'll just read it real quick. It says, "In May 2018, Southern Baptist evangelist and writer Tom Littleton began warning Christians about the impeding..." Excuse me.
Take two.
Yes. "Debut of a conference called Revoice, set for July 2018 at a Presbyterian church in America congregation in St. Louis. Revoice announced its vision as supporting, encouraging, and empowering gay, lesbian, same-sex attracted, and other LGBT plus Christians so they can experience the life-giving character of the historic Christian tradition." All that is garbage. Man, I can't talk tonight.
It's all right.
What is going on with me?
Hey, man, it's one of those things.
Let me try to finish reading this. Good grief. "But soon the Christian world learned the truth about Revoice's unbiblical messaging and terminology, like LGBT plus Christians, sexual minorities, sexual orientation, mixed orientation marriages, redeeming queer culture, and race, sexuality, and intersectionality. Why is the radical and progressive language of LGBTQ plus activism being embraced by a historically conservative and confessional denomination like the PCA? Who is enabling this message, and what are the LGBTQ plus activists' long-term goals for undermining and changing the doctrine of biblical faithful Christianity on all things LGBTQ plus? How should God's people stand on his word at a time like this?" I'm almost done.
Yeah, man.
I'm like hacking this.
Hey, you're doing good.
Sorry.
You're doing good. Just keep going.
Not
man.
Enough Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Keep that chin up.
That's right. "Now is the time for God's voice to be heard and for Christians to stand against the queering of the Church of Jesus Christ with the uncompromising truth of God's word. Mm-hmm. Please join us in Oklahoma City on February 22nd and 23rd as we hear and submit to God's voice on biblical sexuality and embrace once more the transformational power of the gospel. And real quick, if you want to know who the speakers are, I don't know most of these people, to be honest with you. But Janet Medford, I know her. She's got a great podcast. Andrea Williams, Reverend Al Baker, Reverend Thomas Littleton, Dr. Robert Lopez. Oh, Peter LaBarbera is speaking there.
Okay.
He was one of the ones that Nate Collins, the founder of the Revoice Conference, he refunded his money and sent him an email telling him that,
don't come.
Yeah, don't come. And he was actually going to attend it with Stephen Black, who is also speaking at the conference, God Voice Conference. The two of them, I think they were going to go, together, to stand up against this and listen and all that. And they were both rejected by the founder, Nate Collins.
Yeah, here's the reason why, scripturally, and we talked about this last time, Revoice should never took place. 1 Corinthians 6:9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Here's the wonderful part. Here's the part where we see what Christ did upon the cross when he was the perfect sacrifice for us wretched sinners. Because what God demands, what God deserves, what God commands is perfection of the law. We can't do that. Mm-hmm. We don't like God. We rebel against God. And so what Christ did by coming down here was standing in for us, the wicked, the unrighteous. And when he went to the cross, for all those who believe in him, our sins were imputed to Christ that day on the cross. Our sins were imputed to him, and his righteousness was imputed to us. So in verse 11, that's where it says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." See, there's no reason for Revoice to have ever taken place. Mm-hmm. If you think that this sinful nature we are to embrace within the church.
Mm-hmm.
When the Holy Spirit, by way of the Apostle Paul, tells us the exact opposite in what was just said in 1 Corinthians 6.
Mm-hmm. And what's sad is they've already booked Revoice 2. I mean, there's going to be another one. They were already making plans for Revoice 2 before it was the Revoice conference even happened.
So this is what pretty much this episode is going to be about. Us speaking about against this whole social justice movement with inside the church. I think this is just another way for liberalism to be brought in through the back door.
Yeah.
And so what I said earlier about Christ Reformed Church holding some Revoice type conference, I tell you something else that I believe that the church folk should get upset with the elders about is if we were to ever try to plan to tackle race, politics, and religion, do some type of conference like that. And here's the reason why I say that. Relevant Magazine, which is... Look, here's one of the things I do.
If everybody could have seen Britt's face when he said that.
Yeah, my eyes kind of rolled back in my head. But Relevant Magazine is actually one of the places that I go to first thing in the morning just to see what ridiculousness is taking place with inside the church culture. So get this. Pastors John Gray, Levi Lusco, Stephen Furtick plan to tackle race, politics, and religion at Relentless Church event.
How could you go wrong with the fart man, Stephen Fardick? Dude, I bet he is going to just Bring it home.
Look, man, that one time I slipped up and that name, it's just not going to leave, is it?
Nope.
So
I'll own it. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you don't want the backlash, I'll take it.
No, man, I'm
he's
good.
He's the fart
that.
Man.
Yeah, it's just, I am not, nor will I ever be a fan of Furtick until he repents of the wickedness that has poured from his mouth behind the so-called pulpit that he preaches from Sunday after Sunday. But now, here, look, the trend has been set, right?
Yeah.
And these guys are now tagging on to it. So you know, we got to jump on the cool train. You know, it's kind of sad. Even inside the church world, you have these folks that want to be up there with the top dogs. You know, the people whose names are constantly showing up at these events. And so you have these other guys looking and being like, man, why haven't we been invited, mm-hmm. you know, to the social justice gospel movement? And they're like, well, I don't know, maybe because we're awful. So what is it that we're going to do? We're going to do our own thing. You know, if the Gospel Coalition, if those jokers aren't going to invite us, we'll just create our own event. So this is what they've done. So check this out. It's a short little read, but again, it's Relevant Magazine. So here you go. It's not often you hear race and politics mentioned in the church, but Relentless Church in Greenville plans to tackle these issues at large in a very public way. Are you kidding me? This is all we've been hearing about inside the church for the past 4 or 5 years now. It's liberalism at its finest, chopping at the door, trying to get in. So I don't know where Relevant Magazine has been. How, even with a name like Relevant, how have you missed this? And so this is something that hasn't been discussed. No, it has been. Good gracious. The South Carolina Church is holding an event on Wednesday, November 14th, called The Bridge. A conversation on race, politics, culture, and the role of the church. The event will include the likes of Pastor John Gray, Levi Lusco, and Stephen Furtick speaking about race, politics, and culture changes taking place in the church today. Hey, pause. This isn't in Relevant Magazine. Newsflash. Hey, if you call yourself a pastor, preach the gospel. If you want a change to take place, that's how it happens. Did we not just go to 1 Corinthians? I mean, what do you think the Holy Spirit's going to do? What do you think it means when God takes that heart of stone out and puts in that heart of flesh? What do you think it means when you are no longer dead to your trespasses and sins? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. We got to make it cool.
Yeah,
hip,
yeah.
Presentable. We're going to talk about touchy subjects. No, you're not. You're talking about secular topics.
Yeah. No way. I give up.
No, nah, man. You're doing great. You just keep going forward. What were you going to say?
First of all, I'm sorry. Second of all,
don't you apologize.
I'm so sorry. But throughout that whole thing that you just read,
and I'm not done yet.
Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and make a bet after I say this. Not one time did they say they were going to talk about Jesus.
Let's see what happens. I'm not going to take that bet because I've already read this article, so that would not be fair of me.
Well, we're not gambling because we're not supposed to.
Right. Okay.
So, if I was a gambling man, I'd probably lose a bet here in a second.
Your bet is that you don't believe they bring up Jesus in this article or the gospel or anything along those lines. So you're saying,
yeah.
I just want to make sure we're clear on that.
Absolutely.
All right. So continuing with Relevant article. Pastor Travis Hayes of Relentless Church told Greenville News politicians and celebrities will be in attendance as well.
No.
Right? So, continuing. It's important to tackle issues like race and politics, Hayes said. Religion provides a great view into those tough subjects. You know what I like? What he said? Religion. Religion.
Right.
We're not even going to call it the Bible, Scripture, the Gospel.
Religion.
Religion. Why? Because it's politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's the kicker. And this is what everybody here, okay, continuing, catch a short clip from Pastor John Gray below where he describes the origin of his fun, exuberant preaching style. So here we go. I'm going to play this, and I want you to brace yourself. 3, 2, 1.
Michael Jackson. My preaching style is James Brown meets James Taylor meets Lady Gaga meets Run DMC meets Billy Graham meets Michael Jackson. I feel like I'm me. I don't sound like anybody else. And I think that's one of the great things. I always wanted a spiritual father growing up, because a lot of guys have a spiritual father. I have people who were kind enough and loving enough to speak life to me, but there was never one person that I modeled myself after. And I think that's what makes me unique. I don't sound like anybody else. So I'm Chris Farley, because I love big comedians, because I'm big, and I think I'm funny sometimes. So I like to laugh. Then I like to sing. So it's Chris Farley meets Luther Vandross meets Billy Graham / T.D. Jakes. You know, I want to be able to be everything that God made me to be. And when I was 13 and called to ministry, I was crying because I wanted to be an R&B singer. And I wanted to have fun and laugh. And I was like, you know, I don't see preachers having fun. That stinks. You know, I want to be me. And God says, that's why I called you. So I infuse comedy, laughter, music. And you'll laugh and you'll cry when I preach, because I'll laugh and I'll cry when I preach. And I'm not going to change who I am, because that's being disingenuous to the God that made me. He saved my soul. He sanctifies my personality. He didn't whitewash my personality. I'm not going to become some creepy guy like, open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created. That's not me, you know? I want to be me. I want to be who I was authentically created to be. And the best way for me to reach people is to be authentically who God made me.
Repent.
All right. So just what he said there. First, this day and time, he probably fits the typical stereotype of a pastor. He sounds very effeminate. One thing I do not like, though, is how he mocked at the very end. I do not want to be one of those pastors that says, open your Bibles to Genesis in the beginning. First, what's wrong with that? I think, what's wrong with that?
Isn't that what you need to hear?
Right.
Isn't that what a good shepherd would do?
Yeah, you take the people to the word. So, and then he claims to be Michael Jackson.
Chris Farley.
Well, you know, Chris Farley, Michael Jackson, a pedophile. and then he said Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
A very strong supporter of the gay movement.
And Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then T.D. Jakes. The heretical T.D. Jakes, who does not believe that there are three persons in the Trinity.
Yeah.
Believes it's one person who manifests himself into each person. That is a heresy.
Yep. And don't forget Chris Farley. I mean, don't get me wrong. Loved his comedy.
Right.
But the boy lived in sin.
Yeah.
I mean, he was wild. I mean, my point is nobody that he mentioned is a good name. I mean, sorry, folks, even Billy Graham.
Yeah, we've got some serious issues with Billy Graham, man who supported abortion.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know. And this is not to mention, I mean, like, what were you expecting when I was going to play this? Anybody that partners up with Stephen Furtick, we don't need to go any further than that. I mean, that said it all right there, I would think.
So basically, out of everything he just jumbled together, what comes out of that is man-centered, feel-good sermon with no scripture.
Yep.
Or very little scripture that's going to be taken out of context to fit into the culture that he is speaking to.
Yeah. And they're going to solve the whole race issue.
Man, I guarantee it's going to be conquered by the end of this thing.
That's what I was thinking. Oh, here's something that's really interesting too. So at the very bottom, it says, this event will air for a screening in hundreds of theaters across the country in early 2019.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm pre-ordering my ticket.
So here's my deal, all right? So the PCA hasn't rioted against Revoice. Can we at least riot against this thing going to the theaters? I mean, somebody just riot with me.
I'm with you, brother.
Well, thanks, man. I mean, you know, honestly and truly, if we do not get upset about what is taking place, I mean, what are we doing? We're just sitting on our hands. Hey, it's okay. No, it's not okay.
I think a lot of it, Britt, comes from your congregation viewpoint is, well, my church is okay. I feel safe at my church. Everything's good there. We need to start looking outside the walls of our church, and we need to start being stronger.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we as Christians are becoming very weak and spineless.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying walk up to a homosexual and spit in their face.
No, absolutely not. No.
What about walking up and shaking their hand and saying, hey, brother, can we talk?
How about sharing the gospel with them?
Yeah.
And you do that out of love, not out of hate.
And if they say, no, I don't want to hear it, God bless and walk away.
Yeah.
Don't fight.
Yeah, and you never know. I mean, you never know what seed may be planted in that moment of just having that conversation. Look, I'm not saying that we shun them or anything along those lines. And
no.
Then, look, I'm not saying that, but I'm also not going to be politically correct. They're also not going to be members of a sound church.
Right.
I mean, if you are a practicing homosexual, you're not going to be a member of a sound church. It's not going to happen.
No.
And so I'll be honest with you. One of the things that I would start asking people, if you're attending a church that is leaning towards this social justice gospel when it comes to racial reconciliation, when it comes to pretty much a Marxist type outlook, and that the Marxist type outlook, and one of the things that we're seeing in some higher ups, the intelligentsia that sit in the ivory towers of seminaries, this Marxist outlook is along the lines of a socialist type. They're wanting to bring in a socialist type country. And how is that going to be done? Well, first, it's going to be done by convincing Christians that it's okay to vote Democratic. This is one of the things that Russell Moore is pushing. It's something that Tim Keller is pushing. And listen to me. This is one of the issues that concerns me and what's taking place inside the church today. If this is what you're being fed from the pulpit, that it's okay to put into office those who want to kill babies, then your pastor is not a true pastor. He is not shepherding the flock by saying it's okay to vote blue. There's no way I can vote blue with that being their agenda. It's just not going to happen. Not going to happen. As long as they support killing babies, there is no way I could attend a church where the pastor stands in front or the elder stand in front and say it's okay for this to take place so that we can usher in this social type movement, this socialist type movement, mm-hmm. to where we want it to be fair for everyone. We, you know, if someone's making this much money, they should be sharing it with this person over here. And that doesn't work. There's never been a country underneath that type of authority where it's worked. It just doesn't work. And yet for these men, and this is what's so funny, someone like Tim Keller is worth millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Russell Moore has made a very fine living.
Oh, yeah.
Within the, I guess, the ivory tower of religion and what he's doing with the ERLC and what he's done with the SBC. So yeah, it's funny. These wealthy Christians are laying down the hammer on the church for this social type movement to take place, and they're doing it by calling it justice, social justice, when really they're not even giving the correct definition of the word justice, because what they're saying is, you know, we need to feed the poor, help the widows, visit the ones who are in prison. And yes, those things need to be done, but that's not justice. That's having grace and mercy on people. You know, justice is for when a wrong is done. Then the person who did the wrong should have justice poured out upon them. They should have to pay for that wrong that they've done. So one who is a widow, she doesn't deserve justice. She needs grace and mercy. And one who is in prison, if they're in prison because they committed a crime and they got caught, then yeah, go and visit them. Take them food. That's grace and mercy. But this whole social justice gospel that's been brought upon us, even the terms, the words that have been brought together, they're not even true. So in this postmodern world that we're living in, we're changing the definitions of words. And it just drives me absolutely mad. And here's something else that drives me mad. Beth Moore. Beth Moore was in Fuller Studio with, let me get his name. Where is his name? With Al. Man, I think it's Mark Laberton. I think he's the president of Fuller Theological Seminary, which is crazy. Well, no, it's not crazy. I shouldn't say that. It's not crazy because Fuller Theological Seminary is one of the most liberal schools in the nation, and here he has Beth Moore, and this is the topic: Beth Moore on women and leadership and misogyny. I'm going to play just a couple of clips. I won't be able to tolerate it very long. So let me see if I can get to the points where.
So, what's been interesting to watch and try to understand as an appreciative observer is that it seems as though the ministry that you've had, especially in the last year or 2 years or so, has been prepared to move publicly more into this sphere that, in shorthand, I'll call the Me Too awareness movement that is going on in so many different places. And that's not about a political moment so much as it's really about an acknowledgement of need, of the way that gender has been often handled, the vulnerability that you describe in your own life, and the vulnerability that so many people, but particularly women, especially experience. And
I'd love to speak to that.
I'd love to hear how that's happened and then how you are experiencing the response to that.
I can tell you that being in women's ministry for as long as I have, it is the most natural thing in the world that those are where my concerns would be, and that I feel a great responsibility to somehow represent and somehow bring to the table what I think many women have as concerns. And I will tell you that along the way, as safe as my environment was for me to grow up and teach, I was aware that things were different for women in regard to opportunity than men, but it was when I really started branching out that I realized it more and more. And Mark, let me try to put it this way to you. I kept all of the rules. I tried to. I worried over it. I would stress over it.
Let me stop right there. If Beth Moore kept all the rules like she's saying she did, she would not be teaching in front of men. She wouldn't be doing it. Would not happen. Would not happen. She is not the husband of one wife. She is not a male. And that's what the scripture calls for. For someone to teach and preach the authoritative word of God, they are to be a male.
Didn't she say something a long time ago about, like, well, if men, you know, I'm putting these conferences together for women, but if men show up, then I can't stop that.
Yeah, she says something about, yeah, it's a, and I think, to be honest with you, she may either say it here or another place earlier in the interview, but she does say that, you know, she was teaching these classes in the First Baptist Church that she was attending, where she started teaching and men started showing up and sitting in the back of the room. That's an issue. That's an issue. So no, you weren't following the rules. You were not following the rules, Beth. Let her talk a little bit longer.
Yes. By the time my class was drawing a little more attention, and then men would start to sit in the back of it, I would just get so undone about it. And
why would you get undone about it? Why would you become undone about it with men sitting in there? Was it because your conscience was weighing heavy upon you because you were disobeying the word of God? What you're supposed to be teaching, even though you shouldn't have been. There's a reason why, Beth.
We talked about this on an earlier episode where we actually talked about Beth Moore.
Yes.
About to go home, Britt. I am about to go home.
Doing good, man.
But she, we read the article where she was talking about how she had to ride in vehicles with male pastors, and they didn't speak to her and acknowledge her and all this. You know, I mean, give me a break with all this social justice crap.
Yeah,
that's what it is, man. It's selfish. It is not biblical.
Right. So here we go. First Timothy 3:2. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. That's a
strike one.
That's a male.
Mm-hmm. So strike one on her.
That's okay. Here we go. See, Beth, you're being convicted. That's why you were not comfortable with men sitting in that class, because they shouldn't have been there. And let me say this. The so-called elders, if you had elders, which you probably didn't, you probably had I don't know, so I'm just shooting from the hip here. But I would assume that the pastor of the church, First Baptist Church that you were teaching in, was more like a CEO. And I would say that he is not a true pastor because he was allowing you to teach men. So that leads me to, were you even in a true church? Well, let's talk a little bit more.
And so worried, and then I can remember the very first time my pastor, Brother John Bassanio, ever asked me to speak on a Sunday night. And I mean, I honestly said, Brother John, I cannot possibly do that. I mean, I just looked at him like, I couldn't even believe that had come out of his mouth. And he said, why? And I said, because I'm a woman. And I'll just never forget it, because he called out to his secretary, who was just on the other side of the doorway because the door was wide open to her. He said, you're not going to believe what I have to do. Did you know Beth Moore is a woman? And I mean, they just had such a laugh. And I said,
a woman who should not be preaching or teaching or holding authority over men. And here, this false pastor asked her to teach on a Sunday night inside the church in a mixed crowd of people.
And then mocked.
Yeah.
Mocked God.
Mocked God.
Did you know Beth Moore was a woman?
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, this is the problem. We as Christians are not standing for the word. We shouldn't even be talking about Beth Moore because the church should have never allowed for her to stand and teach and preach before men and women. But here we are. We weak-kneed, limp-wristed Christians have caused this because we have not been obedient to the word. I'll let her talk just a little bit longer. And then I'm going to drive my head through a wall.
I have to be a woman under authority. And he kind of reared back in this most wonderful way and said, do I not look like an authority figure to you?
False. That's false.
No, he does not look like an authority figure.
No, he doesn't. And this is how they're able to maneuver around this. Yeah, a woman can preach and teach, but she's not the authority of the church. Me, the pastor, I'm the authority of the church, and I'm overseeing her.
Wrong.
Yeah, dude, you're a coward. You are a coward.
Yep.
You're not protecting the sheep. You're inviting the wolf in, because to be honest with you, sir, you are the wolf.
Amen.
And you're bringing another wolf with you to devour the flock.
Yeah, you do.
No, you don't. He doesn't look like an authoritative figure, Beth. You're lying. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry for what I just said. I just noticed I'm sitting here looking at the screen with a picture of Beth Moore on it, and I'm looking into her eyes, yelling at her. And I just had a simple thought of, that's not right. Because I...
What, Britt?
Yep.
What does it say about false teachers and false prophets in the book of Revelations? Doesn't it say that they will burn in hell with sulfur? I don't know the whole. I know it's
a good paraphrase.
Yeah, I mean, that's what there's like the smell of sulfur.
Yeah. Yeah.
But. The important part is that they will burn in hell for eternity, yep, forever and ever. And she's sitting here laughing, telling this story of a spineless man that is not a leader of his church, mocking God,
yeah,
to let her stand behind his pulpit and teach in front of his congregation.
Yep.
Shame on him.
I agree. Teach and urge these things, 1 Timothy 6. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind, deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith, pierced themselves with many pangs. I read that because this is Beth Moore. Beth Moore is a very wealthy woman because of her false teaching. And that's why she does it. Because there's no way a true godly woman could stand before men and teach and preach.
On that note, man, remember the article on Pulpit and Pen? where the female pastor is atheist.
Yep.
And they still want her as the head pastor of the church.
It's up in Canada, right?
Yeah.
That's just godless.
Yeah.
All right. Look, and I don't mean
this is what we're coming to.
Yeah, it is. So I'm going to let this play just a little bit longer.
So I serve on Sunday evenings,
right,
and still, you know, just trying my hardest, play by the rules, do everything right. And then, you know, when I would get treated a certain way, and I did, the lack of esteem being a woman in ministry, especially not academically educated, it was palpable. And I'm fairly hard to offend. I like people really easily, and it takes me a while to figure out that they don't like me. And, you know, I'm a happy person. And so it was shocking to me.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to stop right there because I got one more clip I want to play. But the reason why I'm stopping that right there is because what she seems to be saying is that there were some men who were mean to her because she was in the ministry.
Oh,
listen, those men. Now, look, here's the thing. If they were pushing you, shoving you, pulling your hair, yeah, I would be upset and I would say justice needs to be served.
Absolutely.
And rightfully so. However, I don't think that's the case. I think that what's happening is that there are some godly men protecting the flock and they're saying you should not be doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that to her is misogyny. Hashtag me too.
Hey, can I go on the record and just say that Beth Moore, you are a false teacher.
Yeah.
You need to step down. You need to repent. And you need to stay. I lost it again, man.
You need to stay out from behind the pulpit.
Thank you.
You do not need to step up on another stage again. As a matter of fact, quit. I don't even know if you really write your books. I'd say you probably have a ghostwriter.
Probably.
But quit that too, because your devotions, your books are awful. They're not theologically sound. It's horrendous. And shame on this guy who's over the Fuller Theological Seminary for not being a man and saying, look, Beth, you need to repent. You need to quit what you're doing. It's not biblical. But no, Mr. Social Justice Warrior here is all up on it.
It ain't authoritative figure.
Right.
Whatever.
Hang on. Let me get to this next part here if I hit the time stamp correctly, which, all right, here we go. Let's see if this is close to it. And here we go. Just a little bit more, guys. Just a little bit more.
Ever resented being taught and even raised on 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Corinthians 14. Never. What I'm objecting to is only being taught that.
Right.
And so what I began to think was, for where I have been part.
Okay, so let me say this. So she's saying, because I didn't go far enough back and I don't want to restart it, but what she just referred to was what I just read. And she's using the two verses, or more than two verses in the New Testament, that speaks very clearly on women not being teachers, preachers, pastors. And so what she says is, yeah, we got that, right? And I understand that. But as a whole, what does the Bible say? So let's let her kind of ramble on using every liberal type argument against this.
Wow.
So here we are.
Of playing into and adding into what I believed had taken on manifestations of sexism and misogyny. I thought, no, where I have been part of this and complicit in this, I will repent. So here is what I'm fighting for. I am fighting for us. And I don't just mean women. I mean women and men, brothers and sisters.
Okay, so that sounds all holy and righteous, that whatever she's wrong for, she will repent. But that's a bold-faced lie, because she just spoke on the two or more verses that are solid in the New Testament that speak against women teaching and preaching. And what is she doing? She's still doing it. So that's a lie. You have to repent for that lie. Along with you teaching the Word of God to men in an authoritative role. That's not biblical. It's not biblical. Did I say biblical? Close enough.
Man, I'm not going to critique you because I've screwed up. You know,
I think I said biblical, but
I think my thought process is screwed up from Sudafed and cold medicines from the last 24 hours. But so
let me do this real quick in Titus 1, because that's the other book that she referred to. I've already read from 1 Timothy and 1 Titus. Titus 1:6 says, if anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. I mean, what else do you say about that? But we'll let her answer that, because she said she's going to repent for whatever she says.
I think it takes both genders to flourish.
Right.
That's just wisdom. But what I'm asking is not discounting those scriptures. I'm asking, can we not grapple with the larger New Testament? What do we also do with Luke chapter 8 with the women followers of Jesus?
Right.
What do we do with the way he elevated very intentionally? I mean, he could not have been more intentional than to make sure that he established women as credible witnesses of the resurrection.
Big deal, Beth. He didn't put them in charge of a church. They relayed a message. Yeah. God used them to relay a message, not to be authoritative. In the New Testament churches, was there ever a woman put in charge? Nope. In the New Testament, when Jesus went and chose his disciples, was there a single woman in the 12 that he chose? Nope. What about with the apostles? See, they had an opportunity when Jude, you know, kind of, well, betrayed Jesus. They had an opening. They could put a woman in there, right? Nope. Nope. You're just wrong. And again, you're using the most liberal arguments that cannot even hold water. It's ridiculous. And yet, she has millions of women following her.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit longer. And the way she uses the word grapple. And man, I'm like, you're not grappling with the scripture, Beth. You're grappling with heresy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not grappling with it. You're dancing. You're dancing with it.
That's not accidental. And then to grapple with the fact that Paul, who was divinely inspired by God to write those portions of scripture that are infallible, inarguable to me, but he is also one who served elbow to elbow and shoulder to shoulder with many women and considered them to be a fellow workers. I mean, look at...
We have women in the church that help. We do. They help with the meals. They help with greeting people. They do a lot of stuff in the church. As a matter of fact, there was a person in the church that just lost their spouse. And let me tell you, it was primarily the women that put the list together on who was going to deliver the meals. A lot of the women would take the meals, deliver them to her. Look, that's how this works. That's why we're complementarianists. We believe that each sex has a role to play within the church, much like we do inside the marriage. However, there are certain roles that God has laid out for us. And the role of teaching and preaching and overseeing is that's what the man is supposed to do. Heaven forbid we hold to the patriarchal view of Scripture this day and age I mean, heaven forbid that man is head of the household. Heaven forbid that man is head of the church. Well, Christ is head of the church, but that men are the overseers of the church. That's just biblical. I don't care if the world doesn't like it. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care what the world thinks. I care what God thinks. And I know what God thinks because he gave it to us in his word. But you, Beth Moore, on the other hand, don't. Because you just said, you know, you want to hold to those scripture verses, but we got to look at the Bible as a whole, the New Testament as a whole. Women are going to help out within the church. That's what Paul said. That's what, you know, God used the women to go and tell the disciples that, hey, the body's not there. They were credible eyewitnesses. That doesn't mean they were teachers and preachers and overseers. I probably need to quit yelling because I see the bar rising.
No, you're good.
Anyway, it's just really frustrating, and I don't want to listen to any more of her. And I've got one more video, but you wanted to add something.
All I wanted to say is she does the typical, okay, well, yes, the Bible says this, but, you know, let's talk about this, you know. I mean, it's the same thing with the queer movement. You know, it's like, oh, well, the Bible says this about homosexuality, but why don't y'all ever talk about that?
Yeah.
Why don't you talk about this?
Why is it that you're wearing two garments, two different kinds of garments together? Old Testament speaks out about that.
Well, how about we're speaking about this part of Scripture?
What's carried over.
Yeah, because you're a woman taking a leadership role in a church, and it points it out in Scripture specifically that you're not supposed to do it.
Right.
That's why we're talking about it.
Yep.
It's not like churches everywhere every Sunday. Okay, remember, no women can be leaders in the church.
Well, maybe they should be.
Maybe they should be doing that.
Because this is where we are today. You know what, man? I was going to play this video about the gay polyamorous.
Do it. Go ahead and do it.
Think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So it's crazy. Came across this today, and this is not, I'm assuming we're eventually going to be talking about this. We can thank Stan for sending this to me and making my blood boil. Hey, and I'll be honest with you on this one right here. This one makes my skin crawl.
Yeah.
So if you have,
I wouldn't let young ones listen.
That's what I was probably about to say. Yeah, thank you for putting it that way. See, you sit here and you said all night that you're having trouble putting words together.
And I finally got one right.
And then, dude, like, when I'm here, I am in need, and yet you step in.
That's why I'm here tonight.
It's a good job, man.
I'm done.
Right on. All right, so here is Jesus is Polyamorous, posted by Queer Theology. Again, if you got young ones in the car or wherever you're listening to us, you might want to listen to this by yourself, because it, here we go. It's just blasphemy.
Jesus is polyamorous. Yeah, you heard me right. Jesus is polyamorous. We know this already, though, even if we don't think about it or put it in those terms. If you're one of those Christians who believes in the importance of a personal relationship with Jesus, well, Jesus is having personal relationships with billions of other people, too. He's...
It's called the church. And it's pretty much in the scripture. That's his bride. Not in a weird kind of way, either. It's how he's able to relate to us in our understanding. The church is his bride, husband, and wife. This is just stupid. We got, 20 seconds into it? Here we go.
Kind of a relationship slot. And then...
He just called Jesus a relationship slut.
Yeah.
This is where it all went.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, really from the very beginning of this, but I mean that right there.
I'm going to let this play a little bit longer.
Power reclaim sort of slot. Hey there, I'm Brian G. Murphy. I'm one of the co-founders of QueerTheology.com. I'm a Christian, and I'm polyamorous.
No, you're not.
Brian G. Murphy, you, sir, are a blasphemer. Jesus Christ was a virgin while he was on this earth. He was sinless while he was on this earth. Sinless in thoughts, sinless in the sense that he did no outward sin. Jesus wasn't married, so he never had a relationship with a woman. And so your definition of a slut, which is disgusting, is also incorrect all the way around. Because the definition of a slut means something other than what you just said. Just ignorant.
I'm also kind of a slut. The reclaimed, empowering kind of slut. Like Jesus. Jesus is polyamorous.
I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. He just called himself a slut.
And that's said like Jesus.
Yeah, but he's wrong because his definition of a slut would actually be correct in how he's describing himself.
Yes.
Because he's polyamorous, which means he has multiple partners.
Right.
Sir, you are a sinning slut.
Yes.
You're not married. And in the eyes of God, you cannot be married to the same sex. Marriage is between one man and one woman.
We got to make it through the video.
This thing has 55,000 views.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to let it play.
It goes beyond this personal relationship idea though. It's deeper. Biblical even. In Ephesians 5, Paul specifically uses the word marriage to describe Christ's relationship with us. Repeatedly, Paul reminds us that Jesus gave himself for us. Us, the church, which Paul describes as the whole body of believers.
We are members of his body, as in one church.
In this marriage, Jesus isn't married to one person. He's married to the entire body of believers. Jesus is in a pansexual, polyamorous relationship with us. And so of...
What?
You idiot. There's nothing sexual about this. This is disgusting.
Yeah.
Of course Christians can be polyamorous. That's a biblical model of relationship. We all...
One husband, one wife, that's the definition of marriage. One husband, one wife.
We already recognize that God's love for us isn't diminished by God's love for others, and that each of us can have a unique, transcendent relationship with the divine. Our relationship with God can be a model for our romantic and sexual relationships as well. You know how you feel?
No! You know, I said Beth Moore was going to make me ram my head through a wall.
This guy takes the cake.
I'm going to jump in front of a car. This just angers me. It's just stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is what people are looking at now. This is the way things are going.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for everyone who has brought the whole social justice gospel within the church. This is what has been created.
This is what you have built.
Something good happens to someone you care about. When your friend, child, neighbor, or coworker connects with the divine. That's how I feel when my partners date or meet someone new or are just head over heels for someone else. How beautiful, how majestic that they get to have more love in their life. And how exciting that someone else gets to experience the...
It's not love.
That's not majestic.
Sex does not equal love.
That is what we call sin. That's sin.
How much longer is on that video?
Too long.
amazingness of my partner. The word polyamory comes from poly and amorous, many loves. We all already have many loves. The question then becomes, how do you express that love? With whom? How do you do life? We want to help you sort through those questions. Is polyamory for me? How do I share with my church community that I'm in a polyamorous relationship? How do I talk with my partner about wanting an open relationship?
Here's how you talk to Christians about a polyamorous relationship. You don't. If they're looking for one, they need to repent of that sin. And if a so-called Christian is looking for a polyamorous relationship, I think they need to hear the gospel, because I don't know if they are a Christian at that point.
Amen.
I don't want to finish this. It's got 48 seconds left.
I mean, that's the gist of it anyway. That's pretty much
it. Yeah.
So, but I mean, this is the whole social justice thing. This is queering the church. That right there, what you just heard, is the definition of queering the church.
Hey, guys, it's time for us to man up. It's time for us to be the overseers that the Bible, that God's inerrant and infallible word, has called us to be. It's time. There needs to be a reformation within the Protestant church today to call this nonsense exactly what it is, and that's trash. Filth. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. Stop it. I'm looking at the guy on my screen again, yelling at him.
It's okay, dude. Yeah. It's okay.
All right, let's play us out, man. Play us out.
Let's do this. Give me fuel, give me
fire, give me that which I desire. Oh, man.
Nothing like a little Metallica.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I was never a Metallica fan.
Eh.
It just never did anything for me. I think that was a perfect ending, and I mean, but man, I
got a handful of songs a lot.
Yeah.
But they're all old.
Yeah.
The old Metallica.
Yeah, man, that just, I don't know, man. I kind of had a feeling this is where it was going to go, but I do think you I liked what you said. We're queering the church, and we're doing it by way of
social justice gospel.
Yeah, that it needs to stop. But man, I appreciate you guys listening to us rant tonight. but this has got to stop, because this is mm-hmm. where this is heading. And you know, okay, so last thing. I told you this before we got in here. Lee and I were watching TV. It was late one night. I mean, we couldn't go to sleep. And so I can't even remember what we were watching. But I saw this ad. And the ad was for gay men. Look, if you got kids in the car, go ahead and
turn it off again.
Yeah, turn it off again. But this ad... And I was shocked when I heard this, but this is, again, what we're trying to... Anyway, it was for gay men to have open sexual relationships with numerous partners, and this pill was to, I don't know how it works, but somehow help protect them from the spread of HIV. And in one of the scenes, there's a man dressed up as a woman on a date. I was so shocked. Like, I looked over at Leah, that's my wife, and Leah looked at me the same time, and it's almost like we were mimicking each other, because our jaws had dropped about 8 inches, and we were just like, at the same time, can you believe this? Take us out, Jeff.
Sickening. Okay, let me see if I can do this without stumbling. Actually, I'm going to wrap it up quickly. Guys, We love you. Thank you all for listening and supporting us. If you would like to financially support us in any way, you can do so on patreon.com. Just look us up, and you can donate whatever you want, however you want, or you can just continue to listen for free, and we're happy with that. You can also reach out to us on our email at sonicreformation@gmail.com. We are on Twitter and Facebook, Sonic Reformation on both of those. And I'll end it with apologizing to everyone for me stumbling tonight. Try to do better next week.
Told you not to apologize. Hey, let me do this real quick. Follow what our Lord and Savior said. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor enough, whether they're gay, straight, claim to be agnostic, or even an atheist, whatever the case may be. Love them enough to share the gospel with them. Tell them, let them know that, yes, they are sinners, that they are not righteous before God. There is no work that they can do that will make them righteous before God. And then tell them about the Savior who went to the cross, who lived the perfect life. And when that Savior was on the cross, he took, if they come to believe in exactly what it was that he did, he took their sins upon himself. He paid their sin debt in full. And while he took those sins upon himself, he imputed his righteousness to you. And it's a beautiful message. And it's the greatest news that they will ever hear. Because they don't have to worry about going to Revoice conferences and accepting this queer culture within inside the church, because God can regenerate that heart of theirs. Take out that heart of stone. Give them that heart of flesh. They can dig into the Word. They can love the Word. See it for the truth that it is inerrant and infallible. And they can turn from that sinful lifestyle because of the Holy Spirit who is now dwelling within them. Tell them that. Tell them that. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above.